Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, where we automate your systems, engage your customers, and help you grow your agency. And I want to welcome you to a special episode of the Connected Insurance Podcast, where it's our job to find the geniuses, innovators, movers, and shakers in the insurance industry, and to discern and deconstruct what they did do to help you grow your agency faster. I'm excited about this conversation in part because it's a little bit different than some of our or many of our previous conversations. In retrospect, if you look at these 70 or so podcasts that we have delivered for the last year and a half or so, you'll see that they kind of split into two camps or two perspectives. One, really practical and tactical. Often from agents who understand what's happening in the real world today, and they have figured out ways to embrace that world and to engage that world, and they share their success very openly and very successfully. I'll allude to conversations I've had recently, which if you should listen to if you haven't, with Claudia McLean or Greg Wilkes, Nicholas Ayers, and Berta Fidelli. And by the way, I have a very special surprise guest coming up in a few weeks, one of the most successful agents in the country. We're putting our podcast together now, so you'll find out about that shortly. I have this idea that perhaps I should create a directory of podcasts so that at some point if you say, I want to learn about this, then you know who to go listen to. And so a lot of those are clearly practical, tactical podcasts with agents who share stuff that you can do Tuesday and you can get results on Wednesday. Then there is the other perspective, not tactical, strategic, big picture, forces and trends that are changing the industry, the things that are happening, the big weather patterns and the changes in the tidal currents that are changing the entire industry that smart people simply need to be aware of. This podcast largely follows into that category. However, just because it is about kind of big picture, big trends, and more than likely you wouldn't dial into a conversation about this topic, I'm going to tell you it's an important topic, and I really want you to listen to it. And our guest is, he lives in the real world of insurance, Joe Talmadge, is not just a senior vice president at Heffernan Insurance, one of the really well-respected firms in the insurance industry based on the West Coast, but he's also a seasoned commercial lines broker. A lot of his clients are household names, often out of San Francisco or Silicon Valley. They're often backed by venture capital, owned by private equity. They could be public, they could be private. This is somebody who lives in the real world, and yet he felt that it was very important, and I ended up agreeing with him that today's independent insurance agent should be aware of blockchain. Here's my promise. At the end of this conversation, you probably won't be an expert in blockchain, and you certainly won't be coding it, but you'll be able to have an intelligent conversation over the barbecue about it, or over the your staff meeting table about it, or in your conference room about it, and you'll understand, I think, why you need to begin to pay attention to it, because it's an emerging technology that is going to affect this industry. It's already affecting other industries, and I can guarantee you that there are conversations in boardrooms and in conference rooms in the largest insurance carriers in North America about this topic. So Joe does a terrific job of helping me break this down. I'm the guy in this case. In our preparatory calls, I said, Joe, my job is to be like Denzel Washington in the movie Philadelphia. Explain this to me like I'm 10. Pretend I'm 10. And so I think we do break it down because there are some mysteries in blockchain there's confusion about it. And I'm simply here to tell you that it's a real technology that will be a game changer in a lot of industries and very likely a game changer in our industry. And so hopefully, please trust me that it's a conversation that you should listen to, not just because you're intellectually curious, but also because you actually want to know what's happening in the real world that I should be aware of, even if it's not causing a lot of ripples in my day-to-day life right now. One last thing that I do want to share with you. I recognize that to a large extent you trust me to curate the content for this podcast. You trust me to find people who have something really interesting, poignant, compelling to share, and that you'll get some value out of listening into that conversation. I need help. I would like help. I'm asking for your help. So if there are either topics that you would like me to pursue or guests who you think would have something terrific to share, even if you don't know them, it helps me approach guests and saying, my listeners want you. This is valuable stuff. You can reach out to me, leave a comment on our website, on the podcast page, or you can email me, michael@agencyrevolution.com. Please, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn and you can send me a LinkedIn message. One way or another, let me know what's on your mind and I'll do my best to satisfy your needs and desires. So now, without further ado, it is my privilege to introduce you to this conversation with Joe Talmadge. Joe Talmadge, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
All right. I'm excited about this conversation because it is a topic that I think causes way more confusion and consternation than clarity. So our job in this conversation is to absolutely make blockchain crystal clear to our listeners and for them also to understand why it's important that they understand it and why it's important to the insurance industry. So starting at the very beginning, you're senior VP and head of technology at Heffernan Insurance, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And Heffernan, why don't you give us a little bit on Heffernan? Because for those of us who know the agency by reputation, very, very, very well respected, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, we're a top-tier privately held brokerage based out of the West Coast. We have probably about 500 employees in several different practice areas, technology, hospitality, construction, real estate, and we're a full-service brokerage predominantly focused on the commercial property and casualty, but we have a pretty substantial benefits book and personal lines and financial services as well.
And from what I know about the agency, and I do know a little bit, you have a reputation for innovation. So congratulations on that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we really care about it. So that's kind of in our DNA.
Well, and I'm sure in your role as senior VP of or head of technology, you're involved in a lot of that innovation.
Yeah, I mean, the head of the technology practice really is intended to focus our efforts on providing not only insurance products, but also resources to firms that are in the technology space, which being in San Francisco just means that they're venture-backed. What we've seen is that the venture community has kind of entered into a lot of different industries that go, frankly, outside of the end risk of technology. So companies like Airbnb and Instacart and Uber are technically, you know, hospitality and transportation and delivery companies. So technology has come to mean a lot of things lately.
Right on. Okay. Well, and obviously it's also the focus of our conversation today. And I think this is really interesting. I suppose that, you know, there perhaps have been, who knows, hundreds or thousands of podcasts that are in or at least related to the insurance industry and not very many on blockchain. And I don't recall exactly how we got to this point where you and I decided this is something that we absolutely need to bring to the industry. But I'm glad that we did. I also want to thank you for sending me in advance a 46-page report on blockchain, so I can at least ask reasonably intelligent question. So let me put it this way. I think we can have an intelligent conversation as long as I'm the one asking questions. As I said to you earlier, it may be appropriate for me to play the role that, like Denzel Washington in the movie Philadelphia. Explain it to me like I'm 10, okay? So I really do want to break this down into manageable chunks. So let's start at the very beginning, and I suppose we could have fun. I'm gonna ask questions that listeners have asked me to ask, and a number that I think are just appropriate for me to ask. And so my first question is blockchain. Even before what it is, I'm going to ask, where did it come from?
Yeah, it's a really good question. There was a very sort of mysterious figure named Satoshi Nakamoto who published a white paper using the technology as a framework for Bitcoin. There was this mass adoption of that technology, primarily in the cryptocurrency market, and so the basis of the technology really stemmed from this concept of a decentralized monetary fiat money system.
Mm-hmm. Okay, is it fair to say, or at least fair to speculate, that it's possible that Satoshi Nakamoto doesn't exist as a discrete individual?
Depends on who you ask.
Okay, it may be sort of appropriate that he started out in cryptocurrency because there is a lot hidden about his identity. I googled Satoshi Nakamoto, and in Wikipedia it said this is the name used by the unknown person or persons who developed Bitcoin, authored the Bitcoin white paper, the one that you referenced, and created and deployed Bitcoin's original reference implementation. As part of the implementation, they also devised the first blockchain database. So fair to say that Bitcoin, I know it's a bit of a chicken and an egg, but Bitcoin preceded blockchain?
I would say that you can't have Bitcoin without blockchain.
Okay, got it. Was Bitcoin the sort of first major interest or utilization of blockchain?
Yes.
Okay. again, I think it's my job to be, the advocate for perhaps that part of the audience that knows almost nothing about this. Clarify the distinction between Bitcoin and blockchain?
Blockchain is the mechanism. Bitcoin is the application.
Bitcoin is one application of the mechanism. Am I right about that?
Exactly.
Okay, got it. All right. One last thing about Satoshi Nakamoto. If in fact he does exist, Wikipedia said that he would be worth $19.4 million, or that he would be the 44th richest person in the world. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, I don't know where they're getting the numbers from, but I guess that would exclude the sponsorship fees that I'm sure that he would get.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let's start with the definition of what blockchain actually is. How would you define it?
It's essentially a technology that allows for anonymous, secure authentication of information. That's the simplest way I can put it.
Mm-hmm. And in real world applications, what kinds of things can blockchain replace?
Any system or mechanism that has a centralized authority validating information for a fee can effectively be disrupted by blockchain. So there's a lot of things that applies to.
That's a lot. Yeah. So in the 46-page report that you sent me, which I faithfully read prior to this interview, on page 9, and by the way, I think we should give credit to the author. So before we're done, we'll do that and tell people probably how they can get it, this report. On page 9 and 10 of that report, as I recall, it identified, probably 20 different industries where blockchain has potential utilization, including the insurance industry. So it does have very, very broad potential applications, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
It's pretty extensive.
It's pretty extensive. So, I mean, this is a technology that could radically change the world, do you think?
Yes.
Okay. And if we'll get into the hows, and we'll get into how people will experience those changes, but I want to walk through this so that it's at least fairly understood. So I'm going to ask a few maybe dumb questions, and you know, you can give the intelligent answer. Who's in charge of blockchain?
This is not a dumb question. There's no dumb questions.
just dumb people. Okay.
I mean, no one is effectively in charge of blockchain. It's essentially just the underlying premise of the technology is that no one is in charge. It's a distributed ledger, essentially, that is validated, where the transactions are validated by everyone that's participating in the peer group.
Right. Okay. So, but before the audience totally glazes over here, maybe we should jump into very quickly, why should insurance agents even care? Why should they? In other words, why should they listen to the end of this particular podcast?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like looking at, the online rating of insurance and where that was 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, okay. Right.
And why should anyone have cared back then that the majority of insurance quoting processes were going to be handled online 25 years ago?
Right. I mean,
nobody probably cared about that.
Right.
And so today, there's predominant way that people access information is on the internet. And so I think when you look at historically how insurance has transacted in the past two decades or probably even longer than that, it's hard to put your head in the ground and assume that the way that we do business is just going to continue to be the way that it is. And so I think as a forward-thinking professional, it's good to be aware of trends in the market and good to be aware of things that could potentially make your job easier. Our job is not easy. To make your job easier, and then also things that could potentially change the definition of what you're doing as a professional. You know, if you go back to the 80s when we were using fax machines and, you know, this like dual paper to copy stuff, I don't even remember what the pink sheets is. Is that what they were using back in the 80s? you know, there was a whole job associated with that. And so if you think about the numbers of jobs that have been repurposed in our industry, I think those are questions that as a professional we should be asking ourselves, and as executives of companies we should be asking ourselves is, you know, if we can understand the things that would potentially be streamlined, what are the things that we're repurposing people in this industry to do? It doesn't mean that we're going away. It just means that we should be aware of the things that potentially could be streamlined and made more efficient.
Okay. All right. I think that's well said. So I'm going to ask the question that might be on the minds of some of our listeners, because I think as we look at all the change that's happening in the industry and just happening in the world in general, there's a fair amount of anxiety about it. And I think it's appropriate for an insurance agent to be asking and wanting to know, friend or foe, you know, is this thing good or is this thing bad? Will this help me or will this hurt me? So I'm going to throw that one at you. Is this a friend or a foe to the independent insurance agent?
I think it's a friend.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of different perspectives that you can take on it. I think if you don't like change, then yes, it's a foe.
Fair enough.
But if how you see your job as a professional is to provide the best experience for your customer and the best information to your customer in the most secure way, then I think it's a friend. And, you know, those are things that, blockchain does, is it creates a more seamless, more secure way of doing business that just was not possible before.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll get into some of the potential applications for this in the insurance industry in a moment. I want to walk through just a couple of more sort of basic questions. So somebody might legitimately ask, gosh, if nobody's in charge of it, that doesn't sound like it's very secure.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, the argument is that, in fact, it's just the opposite of that. So can you explain that?
Yeah. So I guess the best explanation for it is actually the analogy that is in that that paper that I sent over
right.
to you, where they used the basketball.
The basketball analogy? Okay.
Yeah.
Walk us through that story.
Yeah. So in a basketball game, just, you know, on a any court, there's a scoreboard, and that, if you can imagine, is your centralized authority keeping score. And that's effectively what happens with non-blockchain mechanisms, where you have this central authority that says to everyone what the score is. If you eliminate the scoreboard and you go out onto just a street court and you don't have a scoreboard, there has to be a mechanism for keeping score. And typically what that is all 10 players on the court agree on what the score is every time that there is a basket that is made. And so no one person determines what the score is. A basket is made, and then player one checks with player two, who checks with player three, and maybe player five disagrees, and then, you know, a discussion ensues. And there's this peer group consensus that the score is X. And that's a really, really good analogy, and I love that paper for that reason, is because it's a very simplified, practical way of looking at how information gets authenticated on a blockchain.
Okay, but in the real world of the blockchain, it's not, you know, the skins in the shirts that are kind of agreeing or trying to remember. It's digital. And so, am I right?
Yeah.
So it's not like, gosh, we have to have a meeting now to make sure that, you know, we agree that that transaction took place.
Yeah. And so I think one of the trends that we're seeing in addition to blockchain, which I don't know if any of your prior podcasts talked about this, is the Internet of Things, IoT.
A little bit. Yeah.
And
okay.
The more that we move to the cloud, the more that we embrace the Internet of Things, the more the information is available on public networks, on private networks, the more that I feel like you can deploy blockchain technology, because effectively it is a transaction on the internet. And so if your information is still on paper, then it's probably not very effective.
Mm-hmm. All right. So now let's begin to look at what blockchain is actually doing in the real world right now. So are there industries that are exploiting it now?
Yeah, I mean, the majority of the press goes to financial-related applications of blockchain.
Right.
And there's been a lot of froth in and around ICOs, which are initial coin offerings, and quite a few people looking to leverage the rise in value of a particular currency. But independent of that, I mean, you can even look at companies like IBM, who are working with large corporate companies to implement blockchain into supply chains for better insight into pretty much any supply chain. Even if you look at our own industry, Marsh just announced a partnership with IBM to do certificates using blockchain technology.
Aha, uh-huh. Okay, got it.
So I think even if you look there, I mean, somebody like that, who's as big as them, if they can look at and deploy something that is as sort of esoteric to the general population like blockchain, I think that speaks to how well we are receiving it as an industry. I think it's just a matter of time before we see it deployed more and more.
All right. So let's talk about the how this may be used in the insurance industry, because as I'd mentioned in the report that you had sent me earlier, there are two or three examples of the ways in which blockchain can be used by all these different industries: automotive, banking and fintech, charity, cloud, cybersecurity, so on and so forth. I'm guessing that probably most of these industries are at least dipping their toes into it. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. There is this one point that just sort of keeps, kind of gets under my skin. I think that when a lot of people look at Bitcoin, they kind of think that's the wild, wild west, at least as an investment, right? Because
yeah, absolutely.
Right? Okay. I think, like at one point Goldman said, don't touch it, and now they're setting up an entire division, that's associated with it. I think maybe Buffett is saying, that's not where he's going to put his money, right?
Buffett has historically been, not a big technology guy.
Yeah, and a value investor. He's an investor that he really likes to know and understand the business. And of course, nobody can, it's very, very difficult to project Bitcoin as a future investment. I mean, it is a bit of a wild, wild west. But the reason I raise that is because I think when people look at blockchain appropriately, it's really just the opposite of wild, wild west. In other words, companies and industries would rely on it because of its security, because of its reliability.
Yeah. I think so.
Got it. All right. So now, in the insurance industry, there are some possible uses. Where do you think it's most likely to emerge in our space?
There's a lot of different areas. Before I actually comment on that,
okay.
I did want to speak to your commentary about the perspective on blockchain, specifically in the finance sector. When Bernie Madoff defrauded all of these people, the insurance industry didn't run away and continue to get scared of the financial services industry. It's actually one of the most highly sought after industries that they want to insure today.
Uh-huh.
And so for me, it's kind of laughable that you could have a single centralized authority like Bernie Madoff scam all these people and then have this other technology that they just simply don't understand, the insurance industry, and have them run away from it when, in fact, it's the distributed ledger feature is substantially more secure than a single person managing billions of dollars. I just wanted to make a quick commentary on that, just in terms of, the perspective that the insurance industry is taking on the technology.
Okay.
But in terms of ways that it can be applied in the insurance industry, I think there's a big potential for streamlining a lot of the processes that we currently engage in today. There's been talk about using it for fraud detection and risk prevention. There's been talks about using it for claims management. There's talks about using it in the reinsurance industry. I think there are so many points in the insurance distribution channel where you have a centralized authority validating information for a fee, and anytime you have that feature, you can think blockchain. And I think if you went down and just even thought about where, as an insurance broker, we validate X company has X coverage,
right?
Or an underwriter approves or declines a certain risk profile, or a claims adjuster is trying to make a coverage determination as to whether something is covered or not, or a contract review where you're trying to figure out if your client has the appropriate coverage for X landlord's lease requirements. I mean, even in the commercial real estate business, they're already using blockchain for smart contract tracking. Back to the insurance industry, when you start talking about more complex, large market placements where you have layered and quota share programs, and there's a need for the efficiency of distributing capital in a claims payment scenario, and you have mm-hmm. multiple programs participating on the same claim, mm-hmm. there's a lot of efficiencies that are gained by that, because right now there's a coordinating effort that happens between all of the parties involved.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of ways that it can help, and I think the more that we're open to listening to the application and what's the ROI on the different applications, the quicker we will get to a point where our lives are easier to provide what we're trying to provide to our clients, which ultimately is good and sound advice.
All right, so let's kind of take this into the real world of a commercial lines insurance producer. Is that a good example? So maybe,
sure. Yeah.
I mean, so let's say it's 5 years from now, and I'm just pulling that out of the hat, right? Maybe it's 10, mm-hmm. maybe it's 2, okay? But at some point in the future, there's a commercial insurance producer in California, and his life is better, or his life is easier, or he's able to deliver a better, more efficient service because of blockchain. So can you kind of walk us through a story of, in the real world, what's going on?
Yeah, I think, you know, the real world application of this is taking what we do on a day-to-day basis and shrinking that down transactionally and shrinking that down to minutes, right? Where I have, let's just take a multinational manufacturing company of any kind, food, pharma, whatever, whatever they're making, a widget.
All right.
And your client asking you, you know, what's the estimated cost for X coverage? And you being able to slide something to the right and have your answer. That doesn't happen today.
Yeah, okay. All right, so in the George Jetson world, what did blockchain do to make that possible?
It authenticated multiple points of information, of underwriting information, and multiple points across the insurance supply chain to come to a consensus on what the answer to that question ultimately was.
Got it.
And the reason that doesn't happen today is because nobody wants to share information. Insurance companies hold their proprietary claims information and proprietary underwriting information, and, you know, clients hold their information. And what you get with blockchain is a way to share information securely, confidentially, and across a very large scale. And it's not just blockchain. I mean, you have, we talked about the Internet of Things. I mean, there's certain transactions that blockchain makes possible, but it's not really possible without the volume of information being available on the Internet. So I think there's a couple different trends outside of blockchain that are allowing blockchain to become more and more prevalent.
Oh, okay. Can you give us an example of that?
I mean, just the move to the cloud.
Yeah. Okay.
I think the more that companies put their financials in the cloud, the more that they put their supply chain information in the cloud, the more that they put their contracts in the cloud, the more that this creates opportunity for blockchain to be implemented and deployed.
All right. So, Joe, today, this is 2018. The average commercial lines producer or whoever, the agency owner, can probably make it to Friday without really having to know that much about blockchain,
mm-hmm.
right? Okay, but
but
at some point, what do you think there'll be a tipping point where it's not only that they need to know that it's there, but they actually will participate in its use?
I think the day when you have 2,000 certificates that need to be issued,
right,
and you can, like I said, slide right and have all of that done, it will be the day when the light bulb goes off and says, wow, this just made my life a lot easier.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So presumably there will be real-world training programs for producers and principals on its application at some point. What do you think?
Well, I don't think so. No, okay. I think the entire point of blockchain is actually to make things less complicated, not more complicated. I mean, yes, there are some very complicated algorithms and processes that are happening in the background, but ultimately, the front end delivery and what you get as a product experience, as a service experience, is so much more simplified, so much easier, and life changing in terms of what it allows us to do as a professional. I think that understanding how the technology works, and I think you should, as a insurance professional, really leave it to the experts.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that there probably will be a validating process, you know, whether that is coming from the accounting firms who develop standards to validate the, you know, authenticity of a certain blockchain or a standards. I think the more that develops, the more that becomes mature, very similar to how cyber matured, and now we have a bunch of data privacy standards and cyber standards that are being more and more accepted globally. I think you're going to see the same thing happen with blockchain, where the more legitimized it becomes in the market and the more standards there are in and around the technology, people aren't going to care about understanding the technical details of it. They're just going to want a product that does something quickly and more efficiently and makes your lives easier. And I think you'll see that. I don't think you will see a insurance industry where we have professionals that are understanding exactly how every single transaction is working. I think that's a tall order for the insurance industry. Very similar to how a lot of brokers, even though they're placing cyber privacy and data breach policies today, it's one of the largest growth areas for the industry. I would venture to say that most people don't actually really understand the data infrastructure of any one of their clients.
Fair enough. But most people don't know how the internet works. But when they log into Facebook, they're glad that it does, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. So I'm going to presume that there's a percentage of my audience who's listening to this and going, whoa, I don't want to be left behind, right? Because we have early adopters. And so if there's something emerging, they're the early adopters willing to take some risk. They see the power and understand the power of technology. What do they need to do? I mean, they can't.
They can't
get on Amazon and say, "Hey, I want to buy me a blockchain."
Right? Yeah. So yeah, I think they need to be aware of the right questions to ask in and around blockchain technologies, because what I believe that we will probably eventually see coming into the market are end use applications that present themselves as the most efficient way of doing X, or the best way of doing X utilizing blockchain technology.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably is the most efficient or best way to do X function in the insurance industry. But as an executive of a company or as a trusted advisor to your clients, there's probably going to be questions that you should be asking in and around blockchain. And so I think to the extent that you understand the basis of the technology, just generally how it works, the credibility of the peer group involved in that blockchain, those are the types of questions I would be asking, before participating in a service that I was going to bring to the market for my clients. So I think from that standpoint, those are the things I would be looking for. The end-use applications are likely to be really easily digestible. I just mentioned a few on this podcast, but the questions that you should be asking as a professional, I think, are more important than looking to adopt it, because it's I think we are going to end up adopting it. It's just a matter of you know, how quickly and when and at what scale. And then the other question really is, as we adopt this, are we asking the right questions in terms of the entities that are fulfilling the services for the industry? I don't see this being developed ground. I mean, even in the Marsh example, Marsh is not developing this in-house ground up. They're partnering with IBM.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think even Heffernan Insurance Brokers, I mean, we have several investments in tech companies that we leave the tech expertise up to them, and, you know, we let them do their thing. We don't pretend to be technologists, but we understand that we need to participate in this movement in technology and have some idea of pushing our industry forward, because, I mean, we're way behind compared to some other industries.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to ask you a question that you have every right to say not going to answer that one. I mean, basically, because forecasting or predictions often tend to, they make fools out of all of us at some point in time.
I'm happy to be wrong, by the way.
Okay.
Well, I'm completely fine being wrong.
Well, it's very likely 2 or 3 years from now, nobody will remember this conversation. But at when do you think these technologies will be presented to the, let's say, the average independent insurance agent presumably by what, tech vendors or carriers who have engaged or collaborated with tech vendors?
I would be surprised if we didn't see it in the market within 2 to 3 years.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So it's right for us to have this conversation now. I did want to give credit. By the way, thank you for forwarding me that white paper. It was written, you know, just a few weeks ago. So it was written in...
No, it's super relevant.
It is super relevant. If anybody wants to get a copy, I'm sure if you Googled it, you could find it. It's called Emerging Exposures, Blockchain, Initial Coin Offerings, and Cryptocurrencies. And it is authored by Michael Tengel, T-E-N-G-E-L, from Arch Insurance.
And yeah, there's...
Yeah, it's a credible report.
Not to cut you off. Yeah, that's probably one of the best I've seen. There's another report out there that was published by Ernst & Young in 2017 titled Blockchain and Insurance Applications and Pursuing a Path to Adoption. Ernst & Young generally does a pretty nice job of outlining some leading trends. So I would also throw that out there.
All right, very good. Okay. I've got one last question for you now. You've been in the industry for a while. You're committed to this industry and care about its future. So if you had the opportunity, because I'm about to give you one, to say something that matters, in other words, to deliver a message to the leaders and the thought leaders and the owners and producers of independent insurance agents, what is it that you would say?
Wow, that's a really big question.
I know, and I didn't warn you that it was coming, but you know, this is the slow dance part of the interview. You're allowed to take a deep breath, but you know, and I'm not going to ask you to say 17 things. Like, if there's one thing that you think agents really need to pay attention to now, 2018, we're talking about stuff that is George Jetson, you know, that people had never conceived of before. And so there is a fair amount of anxiety and uncertainty that agents are experiencing. What do you think they need to know or they need to be aware of?
You know, at the end of the day, I think there's a famous saying that I love to repeat. And it's the saying of, it's just insurance.
Yeah, okay.
And I don't want to discount what we do, but it is just insurance. And I feel like there are bigger questions to ask that ultimately do come back to what we do as an industry. And I think if I was going to ask a question or talk about something poignant to the industry, it would have to do with my kids. You know, I've got a 2.5-year-old, I've got a 15-month-old, and I think about the world that we live in.
Yeah.
I think about, you know, what we're doing to impact that world, and I'm just one guy, you know, and we're all just one person. But I think our industry has a lot to say in and around working together, because if you thought about the capitalist society in any context and you looked at insurance, we're probably the closest thing that you can get to working together in a time of need that you can find in a capitalist society. And it's I don't want to, you know, associate it with socialism or communism or anything like that, but I mean, effectively, at the end of the day, we're all throwing money into a pot, and we're there for each other when
Well, we have deep roots in what, you know, it's come to be known as mutual insurance, where, in fact, yes, it is a community that's coming together when individuals are hurt or in need.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, a lot of time in insurance gets spent around the sales process and growing and metrics, and I think a lot of times we forget what ultimately we are facilitating as professionals, which is a world where we can all agree to help each other in times of need, and really fostering that mentality, you know, for our kids, so that they can grow up in a world where the premise of the insurance really felt in that way. And I think that we lose sight of that a lot of times. The bigger picture of working together and making the world a better place. So
Well said. All right. Joe, if anybody wanted to find out more or reach out to you, what is the appropriate way for them to do that?
I have a pretty strong spam filter. So call my direct line at 415-808-1315. And that's probably the best way to get a hold of me.
All right. Joe, you've been very generous with your time and your wisdom, and I do think the industry is better for having intelligent people and technology people who are making the kind of contribution you are. So thank you very, very much for sharing your insights with us today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.